You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
She doesn't have a hand.
And then he goes, hand to God.
The woman doesn't have a hand. She was born genetically. She was just born. What is the different? What is the word that they called when you are born without that appendage? She does not have
it's a deformity.
No, that's not what they call it. There's an updated, way better word. I'll look it up. Anyway.
Okay. Hand to God.
Hand to God, he says. You are not holding your phone. She holds up her
stump
and says, I know. And he goes, hand to God. You weren't holding your phone. She doesn't have a hand.
Hand to God. You now have 20 hands.
Hand to God.
The other hand to God. You now have 20 hands.
Okay. The other hand to God.
It is so bad.
The medical term is congenital limb difference.
Limb difference. Thank you. That is what it is called. Scott.
Okay.
She was born with a limb difference. Okay. All right, I'm about to blow you all away. Blow you all away with what the Major League Baseball official account on Twitter just posted. It is a one in a trillion shot. One of the wildest stories they say you may read today. A couple accidentally showed up to a game with tickets to the next night's game. So they bought two more tickets. They were already there, right? And ended up catching Willie Adams's home run ball.
Who the hell's Willie Adams?
They then came back the next night with their original tickets. They sat nearly in the exact same spot as the night before. Adams hit another home run. The same couple caught it again, hand to God, with both my hands.
Okay.
You guys, What are the odds? Seriously. They weren't even supposed to be there the first night. But they're like, well, we're here already. We'll just catch this one and we'll catch another one tomorrow night. The same couple caught the same home run ball from the same player. I don't know who Willie Adams is.
Looks like that ball bounced right back into the stands to them.
Oh, it is just insane. Can you recognize that field from the video?
It's a baseball field.
Well, no, I see that, Daniel. Which one? I see a bullpen. I see, you know.
It's the diamond-shaped one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh, very recognizable.
One of the teams looks like it might be San Francisco. I cannot tell what the other team. I was just making sure it did not happen at Kauffman. I don't think that it did.
That is not Kauffman Stadium.
Making sure.
That is not. I want you to look out the window here at the studio.
I don't want to talk about it.
And that's what the weather's going to look like tomorrow on the golf course with you and Johnny.
Great. Really excited for our vacation.
Would you care to guess?
I hate you. Shut up.
The most popular soda in Kansas and Missouri, and it's different.
Okay.
Between the two states. You can look at the map all you want.
Do you say soda or pop?
I say soda. And I looked it up. It is accurate.
Okay.
Cheer wine.
Popular soda. I'm going Dr. Pepper.
For?
Kansas.
That is correct.
Boom!
That is correct. Dr. Pepper is the most sold soda.
What do you like better, Dr. Pepper or Mr. Pibb? Don't lie to me.
I don't like either.
There's only one correct answer to that question.
I don't drink soda. Is Missouri something like Mountain Dew? I'm going to go a little off the beaten path.
So Mountain Dew is very popular in about
Arkansas.
Samuel.
In nine states, Mountain Dew is the most popular, but it is not Missouri.
Okay.
Like mother's milk.
I'm going to go, is it Pepsi or Coca-Cola?
RC Cola.
No.
RC Cola doesn't come out on top in any state.
Is it Tab? Remember Tab?
Yes, I do.
Whatever happened to Tab?
The most popular soda, which is to say the most sold soda in the state of Missouri, is Coca-Cola.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Keep it simple.
Would you care to guess? It's a weird one. Hawaii, California, and Oregon. This is the most popular, most sold soda.
Is it Mellow Yellow?
It is not, but you're kind of in the ballpark.
Squirt.
No.
Remember Squirt? Terrible name, but
it is a terrible name.
It's very refreshing.
It is. It really hits the spot.
Really?
Stop.
Do they still sell it?
Get out.
Remember?
I'm serious.
Fanta? Is it Fanta, Scott?
It is Fanta.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I was just guessing weird ones.
Yeah. Which flavor?
Or ginger ale.
Orange Fanta.
Yeah.
All right.
And Pepsi, which I can't stand the taste of Pepsi.
We switched to Diet Pepsi, and now that's all we drink.
Is number one in Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, South Dakota, Ohio,
wow.
Pennsylvania, New York, Rhode Island, and Connecticut.
Okay.
Which, by the way, Dana, I'm not trying to call you out, but I watched you be very good for like 3 weeks straight drinking water.
There we go.
Look at this. What is this? I'm halfway done.
What's next to it?
Okay. But Sam, this is the same one that I brought with me from this morning.
Okay.
So I've had one in, and I've been up since, well, I had one early in the morning at 8. So I've had two from 8 to 5. And okay,
I was very proud of your new trend, and I've noticed the cancer juice has been back for the last 2 days.
I've gotten way better.
Cancer juice.
We call those fridge cigarettes. I teased this earlier, and we've got to give you the payout here. Six Flags has banned a guest for the rest of his life from all of the parks, and you are never going to guess why. I thought, did he, you know, do something lewd? Did he embezzle, like, you know, to be banned for life? Mm-hmm. Was he like Fountain Girl? You know, big things. Six Flags has banned a man from all of its parks after a viral video of him on a roller coaster. Quoting here from Cedar Point spokesperson Tony Clark, this guest has been banned from all Six Flags parks for life. The theme park is addressing a video that recently surfaced on YouTube, which appears to show a man eating chicken nuggets from McDonald's while riding the Millennium Force roller coaster.
Nice.
That will get you a lifetime ban. And so I'm thinking,
why?
Like, why? Here's why.
Okay.
At whatever G-force that roller coaster is going, he's dipping the nugget in sauce. Should you release said nugget from your hand while you're doing the loop-de-loop, theoretically, the nugget could fly out at whatever miles an hour and hit someone upside the head and kill them.
Well, I don't know that it would kill them. It might sting a little bit. But
safety is a cornerstone of our business, Scott. We have zero tolerance for inappropriate and unsafe behavior.
Do we know which
dip? It looks like barbecue.
Barbecue, okay.
Our ride safety policy strictly prohibits all loose articles on rides.
I like the sweet and sour or the Polynesian.
That includes food, which apparently can also become a choking hazard. I'd be more worried that it was going to whack me in the eye and then I, you know, got glaucoma from a chicken nugget.
A honey hot mustard is always a good
dip. That's always a good choice.
The guy's YouTube channel, which has more than 1.86 million subscribers, frequently shows him accepting a variety of challenges and then recording his attempt to complete the task.
Come on, it's funny.
Such as going through a car wash with his window down and eating a chicken McNugget.
Oh, so this guy, he did this as a setup.
Oh, he's doing it for clicks.
He's not
absolutely
just a regular guy.
No, he's doing it for, well, he is a regular guy. Well, I didn't know you couldn't take a chicken nugget on a roller coaster.
I think a regular person that took a snack would be talked to, but if you're like a quote-unquote
influencer
on YouTube,
God, I hate that word,
doing it as a stunt, that makes more sense.
But it is kind of funny.
It is.
I mean, the fact that he brought on a dip.
The chicken tenders would kill you. The nugget, I'm not so sure.
Okay. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Hey, if you missed a segment, be sure to check out the Dana and Parks podcast. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
That Alabama boy was a man named Josh Scott, who now, along with his wife, Alice, have opened Art House 808.
Art House 808.
Okay. Art House 808, last year in downtown Grandview. It is a place for musicians, artists, theater people, poets, and writers to come together, learn, share in their passions. Young and old, seasoned, and beginners. Last December, Josh posted an essay on a Substack called How Guitar Changed My Life, which included the story of being at his brother's house in the mid-1990s in Alabama when he was 14. He turned on a cassette player and heard the guitar solo in Pearl Jam's Alive. Quoting here from Josh, it was magical. I knew I had to have an electric guitar, and I asked my mom for one. We didn't have money for things like that, but somehow she scraped it together and got me one from Sam's Club, he says, and my life was never the same after that. The purpose of the Substack post was to tell people that he was trying to do something in Grandview, try to raise some money to help pay for free music lessons for kids at Art House 808. It operates as a nonprofit. Listen to this. In the piece he wrote, a kid should be able to walk into a building in their own town and learn to play a song for free. No gatekeeping, he wrote, no tuition, no story about why they don't belong in the room. Everyone should have the chance that I got. Somebody out there in the social media world, a guy named Bill, saw the post and forwarded it to Pearl Jam. In April, the band's Vitalogy Foundation selected Art House 808 as a recipient of a Future Days Fund. For the ungrunged, Pearl Jam is one of the biggest selling bands in music history.
I think everybody
knows. They are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The $2,500 was nice, he says, but having the Art House story and plea for help, along with a photo of a young Grandview guitar student, went out to the band's 3.8 million Instagram followers. As Josh says, good things happen with a lot of littles. He says, the band that made me pick up a guitar is now helping me put guitars in the hands of other kids. That song changed me as a teenager.
That's great.
And there are currently 32 kids in that program. Please look it up. It's called Art House 808. And I just think that is the loveliest story. And you know what jumped out to me? You think about music lessons, he's right, Scott. You're thinking about, okay, I have to have transportation to get my kid there. I've got to find someone who teaches piano, guitar, whatever, violin. I have to figure out how to come up with the money for the lessons. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that those teaching the lessons should do it for free. They're trying to make a living. I understand that. But we have monetized all of those things for our kids. You can't just play soccer because you love soccer. You got to have the coach that's from Australia that with the fancy uniform and all of the things. And I love what they've done here. It's a nonprofit. Kids should be able to walk into their town and learn how to play an instrument, period.
Can you play an instrument?
I played clarinet in middle school.
Yeah, I played football in high school. It doesn't mean I can play it anymore.
Yeah, I don't know that I could. I could play scales. I started piano when I was 4, and it is my greatest regret that I didn't stick with it from ages like 12 to 20, because now it's come back around and I want to do it again. Hmm. So I plink around on it at home.
Sam, can you play an instrument?
I taught myself to play 2 songs on the piano when I was younger. I don't think I could play them again.
Hmm. My son just picked up guitar a year ago.
Good.
And I'm telling you, he, no lessons. I said to him, should we look into lessons? I'm so happy. Like, we'll find, like, he goes, nope. It's him and his guitar. He loves it. He loves it. It's calming.
I taught myself how to play the drums.
Did you really? I didn't know that.
Never took a lesson in my life. I couldn't read music if you paid me. No chance.
I've considered teaching myself guitar. We have one in the house because Mary Beth can play, and it would be much better for my brain than video games or
doom
scrolling.
It's so good for you, Sam. And he says to me, it is really a peaceful, calming thing the way piano is for my brain. I can sit down, and when you're looking at it and trying to figure out a song, you're like, oh, you are laser focused on that. And I think there's something in the brain tied to music that gives us all of those calming endorphins. I've also heard, by the way, guitar is one of the hardest instruments to learn.
Oh, good.
Doesn't mean it can't be
done. Fun times ahead for you.
No, I'm not going out to buy an instrument.
Oh, no, I came home the other night and he was strumming it out back and I go, oh my gosh. And he's like, yeah, how about that?
Good for him.
Yeah,
that's,
right?
That's really good.
Anyway, good for them. Look it up. If you want to support it, do Art House 808 in Grandview.
Story here from Iowa. Christopher Storm was 17 years old working at a Pizza Hut, going to high school. He was in Texas at the time as a teenager. He now lives in Iowa. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Christopher Storm, 17 years old, working at a Pizza Hut, going to high school, when his dad died, sadly. He received survivor benefits from Social Security, roughly $500 a month, until he turned the age of 18.
Yep.
Quoting here from Mr. Storm, "It was a help to receive the money, the funds, be able to make it on my own. And after a final lump sum payment of roughly $3,000, he said the benefits stopped when he came of age. 30 years later, the government wants the money back."
Unbelievable.
Storm and his wife Amy expected a tax refund this year. Instead, they were told that the IRS was claiming it for a past debt. The Social Security Administration says that Storm was overpaid
in
1996 and now owes almost $8,000. Who is going back and auditing somebody from 30 years? There ought to be a statute of limitations on when the government can claw its own money back.
On a young child orphaned at a young age. At 18, they're like, or 14 or however old he was, the government is going to send you this $500 a month, put it away for school, help with expenses, all of those things. You're not going to go, now, do I need an auditor to make sure that they've cut me the right amount?
So they have an attorney, Keith Buzzard, who says that overpayment cases like this are not unusual.
Oh, it makes me so mad.
Buzzard says the financial impact can be severe for some recipients. Quoting here, they'll get a letter. Apparently, the IRS sends out more than a million of these, "Hey, you owe us our money back" letters a year. He says, I have clients who are told that they owe 40 to 50 grand. Huh. By the way, he offers this that Mr. Storm, by the way, correction, Mr. Buzzard does not represent Mr. Storm. But anyway, the attorney, Buzzard, said it's possible that Storm made too much money.
No!
While he was working at Pizza Hut.
Slinging pizzas as an 18-year-old?
Mm-hmm. And the Storms say they wish they had the money because from their tax return because they were going to use it to pay for some house repairs. But now they,
I would
now,
fight now they that. Owe oh, I would fight that.
Was he overpaid based on his income?
But why would you go back 30 years?
Oh, I agree with that.
I mean, if this was last year and the government's like, wait a minute, we think we may have given you money that's not rightfully yours. But for a kid who was 17 years old when his dad died and you're going back 30 years to claw back this money, come on.
Will the government go back and look at 30 years and say, oh, you overpaid us 30 years in a row on your taxes. Here's a fat check. Probably not.
Probably not. No. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. From the Kansas City Sports Commission, because we have Big Slick coming into town this weekend. And
visit KC?
Yep. She will be bringing in the one and only Dr. Rick.
Okay. When you turn around, you're going to see someone.
We have a turkey and cheese.
Let's imagine that LL Cool J has a bubble around him. Do we want to be
inside?
Hey,
I'm Keith.
There are some situations that young homeowners turning into their parents just can't handle.
Yep. There he is. There's my nephew. Very now, I got a video of him playing piano.
That's not how you take a selfie.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto with us.
3, 2, 1.
We don't need a countdown. Just take the picture.
Bill Glass, a.k.a. Dr. Rick, who is going to be in town this weekend for Big Slick, will be joining us in studio as well at 3:15 tomorrow.
It'll be super fun.
Yeah.
Super fun.
Looking forward to it.
Update on a story that we've sort of been tracking, and we tried to get the folks over out at Olathe Ford to connect with us to get them on the program. We might be able to do that at some point, but not today. I just want to update you on this fabulous story. Remember the birds that laid the eggs in the tire wheel well thing of the Ford F-250? Yeah, yeah. This is from Channel 9. The viral bird saga at an Olathe car dealership appears to have reached its happy ending. Many days after that robin built a nest on the tire of a brand new Ford F-250, The baby birds have officially flown the coop at Olathe Ford Lincoln. The dealership shared the update last night on Facebook. What started as a little nest on an F-250 turned into a story shared around the world. They were not exaggerating. The unusual story involving a sold pickup truck stuck on the lot because of federally protected birds quickly took off online earlier this month and has been shared and shared and reshared across the country. It was May 17th. Employees said they came to work and noticed a robin had built the nest directly in the truck's tire. It would be illegal to mess with that nest. Truck was already sold. Mm-hmm. So they just said to the owner, we got to wait it out. They did. Huh. Birds have flown the nest. Hmm. Everybody is happy.
Christopher in KCK. Hello, Christopher.
Hi, Christopher.
Hey, how are y'all doing today?
We're so good.
We're doing well. Thank you.
Fantastic. Hey, I was listening to y'all as we were driving, and I just thought I'd talk about a story for my wife. She's been on disability since 2005. And in 2016, we took a stint up to Chicago. And through all the move and everything, she's, like I said, she's disabled and she's been partially working. They came back and did an audit on her and wanted to know all the monies. And especially because, you know, moving from state to state and back and forth. Well, I gathered all the information, mailed it off to them. They came back and had decided that she had over-earned on her income. And the letter that we got from Social Security was that, okay, great, we show you over-earned for about 4 years, and you owe us back $65,000.
No.
Omar.
No.
Yes.
I would have had a heart attack.
Oh, it was horrible. We both did. And, of course, you know, this is right at COVID. You know, so at that time, I had lost my job. They put her on hold for payments while we sorted it out. We figured out what they did. And I went back and I fought it with them. And we won. And got the whole point to where she didn't have to pay it back.
But wait. Christopher, how long did it take you and the anxiety and the headache? And I don't know if you had to hire a lawyer or a tax person.
I did it all on my own. Took us about 6 months from the time of messing with Social Security. But 6 months from the time she got the letter to me figuring it out and just telling, you know, the people in, you know, up in Washington that you all entered her numbers wrong is what they did. It was a thing from the way we presented them the money. And they came back and I figured out that when they entered in her earnings, they had put in like January, February, March, and then a cumulative total, which even showed it to where they thought that she over-earned by 3 months in one run, and just proving it and then finally getting the money back and, you know, getting them to understand that, you know, she didn't over-earn, but it's so serious when they send it and they're threatening.
And scary.
Oh, yeah, it is. They'll garnish your wages.
Yep. Hey, do appreciate the call, man. Jennifer in Lee's Summit. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi there. Hi Dana. Jen.
Hi.
Hi, Parks.
Hi.
Hi. I was just wanting to comment about the Social Security. So my kids were 4 and 7 when their dad passed away.
I'm sorry.
And his Social Security benefits saved us. I mean, and so you get it until you're 18 or until they graduate high school. And it's for them, but it's directed to you. But it's been a lifesaver.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about their father.
Yeah, me too.
And Jennifer, we all know that's what that money is for.
Right.
We pay into that so that God forbid if something happens.
And then when it comes time, I want it back.
I would like what I paid in back. I don't know that that's going to be the case for.
I don't think that's the case for most people.
For people our age and after, we will see.
913-586-7798. Hey, Aaron. Hello.
Hey, so if I overpay my taxes, I have 3 years to recoup it, according to the IRS. If they audit me, generally, it says from the IRS.com, they have 10 years to go back and look at it. But they make the rules, so they get to do whatever they want. If this guy really wants to fight it, like that last gentleman said, they won't take it to court because it's under a certain amount. If it goes over, I would say somewhere between $10,000 and up is where they really will fight it. But they want a settlement. So if he gets a lawyer,
the lawyer will get it settled down, but it'll end up still costing him money to fight.
Yes, it'll cost you money to fight it. They're wrong. You're right. I don't know that there's much scarier.
That's a lot, Obama.
You know, outside of a serial killer out your door, than the IRS sending you a letter. And it says you owe 65. I mean.
So I got a letter from the IRS about 2 weeks ago. And, you know, you can sign up with the post office and they'll send you an email every day of pictures of the
your
letters
mail.
That's going to be in your mailbox when you get home.
And you're thinking, oh, maybe that's a check. There's always that moment where you think, you know, maybe there was a mistake and this is $50,000 that they owe me.
That's exactly what I thought. Mm-hmm. And I looked and I had a letter in the mailbox from the IRS. I was sweating bullets for the rest of the day. And I thought, they're going to audit me, or they're going to tell me, just like some of the other callers, that I owe $10,000 or something like that. Turns out, they went to deposit my return, and it bounced back because they had the wrong H&R Block.
Yes,
had the wrong.
So they tried to they tried to give you your refund, and it bounced back. That happened to one of my kids.
Yep.
But it, still, there's that moment where why is there something in the mail from the IRS?
It's cold sweat. I mean, driving home that entire afternoon.
Because it's one time out of 10,000, it's going to be good news.
Exactly. And what they were telling me was, we're trying to pay you and we can't. I was like, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Barb in Odessa, you get the last word on this one. Hello.
Hi, Scott. I have been able to get Wheel of Fortune for two nights. Is it because of the basketball games or what? I haven't been able to watch it. I've tried everything. Of course, I just have internet, you know, with Robo, but I don't, and I tried everything to get it in there, but it wouldn't come on.
Well, Barb, Scott and I have gone home separately to enjoy Wheel of Fortune the last couple of nights, and we've watched it. We were just talking about one of the episodes last night.
Watched it last night.
Dana, what do you think? You know, I watched the golf tournament. I was so disappointed when Scotty didn't win.
Well, you know what? I think he's doing okay, Barb.
Yeah, but you know who's coming up, don't you?
Who? Tell me.
That young guy, he plays pretty good golf.
Yes, Blades. He's 19.
19 years old. Can you imagine when he's going to be another you know who?
I cannot. He's going to be very, very, very good, Barb.
All right, Barb, do appreciate the call.
I love when she calls in.
If you need help.
Why can't I watch Wheel of Fortune?
If you need help,
when she calls in.
If you need any help finding your favorite game show, give us a holler at 913.
Yes.
586-7798. Barb, it is 6:30 on Fox 4. Make sure you're on Fox 4. And thank you for the call. And Wheel of Fortune was on last night. I can't imagine having to go 48 hours without the wheel. That sounds like hell on earth to me. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer says she is not running for president in 2028. And when we get back, what percentage of Americans go on a date not looking for love, but looking for a full belly?
Steak ain't gonna pay for itself.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. How many taste buds does your tongue have?
Oh, I bet it's like a trillion or a billion.
Nope.
A million.
Not even close. No, you're way too
five.
High. 10,000.
Oh.
How many muscles are in your tongue?
One.
That is not
it's
correct.
It's one big muscle.
No. There are eight.
Oh, okay.
From Fox News, out on a date at a restaurant, the person across the table may be there mainly for the free food.
That makes me sad.
That is according to a recent survey by J.G. Wentworth.
Call 877-CASH now. You have a structured settlement, but you need cash now?
Which found that 39.9% of respondents admitted they have gone on a date just to get a free meal.
Oh, that's terrible.
What was that number again?
39.9.
Yeah, that's low.
Roughly a quarter of Americans say they have never gone on a date to get a free meal, but they have considered it.
I've thought about it, but I didn't do it.
Yeah. Wouldn't these all be women?
Yeah, exclusively. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of guys are going on first dates and talking their date into paying. Yeah.
Allowing a woman to pay. No way, man.
Although there's always that
awkward.
And
that's not misogynistic.
It's always awkward where the waitress is like, do you want to split the check? And then there's that like moment where you're like.
Do you want a second date? You better answer that question correctly, sir.
I mean, no, you don't split the check. Not if it's an attempt to get.
To get what, Scott? To get what? No, finish your sentence.
You want the joke that ran through my head?
An attempt to get to know you better because I value you as a person? Is that what you were going to say? I'm sure it was.
I was going to say some.
Scott Parks.
No, what I was really going to say before you immediately went full blown.
Yeah, because I know you and I know exactly what you were going to say.
No, I was not going. I swear on my father's grave, I was not going to say what you think I was going to say. Okay. I was looking for the right word, whether it was romance or intimacy or a potential future relationship.
Intimacy works.
Okay.
Not that night. Not on the first date.
Oh, my God.
It's 2026.
I mean.
No, I think this is far more common.
What is that supposed to mean? Well, it is 2026.
It's more common to do that.
Connect.
On the first date in 2026 than it ever has been.
Okay. I wouldn't know.
But the number of people who do the free meal thing is fairly
high. Oh, that makes me sad.
Like, if you and I were to go out and have lunch, I mean, if it was like McDonald's, I'd be like, yeah, I got it. But if we went to a fancier place, I would probably say, take no disrespect, yeah, we're splitting the check.
Yeah, just bring us two checks.
We're going Dutch.
Split it down the middle.
Yeah.
What if I have three glasses of wine and you don't drink?
I'm going to get some extra food.
What I usually say is, let me grab the tip. The tip could be $20 or $30.
This is a regular problem in my friend group.
Yeah, because you don't drink.
I don't drink. I don't usually, when I go out with them, I just hang out, right?
Yeah.
I'm not spending a lot of money on the tab. Maybe I'll get an appetizer or something. And everybody's always like, hey, we'll just put it all on one tab and split it up later.
You're like, no.
And then I get a Venmo request for $75, and I'm like, I got $4 nachos.
I didn't eat. No.
Yeah.
Well, we went out on the night before Maya went to Spain. It was me, my mom, T, my niece Lydia, and Sarah and Maya. And my mom had already bought a couple of dinners when my brother was in town. And as we were walking in, I said, at least let me get half of the check tonight. I said, it's getting ridiculous that you're paying for all these meals and everything. And she goes, well, why don't you get tea? And it was a buffet. So everybody was getting the same amount of charges. And she goes, you get tea and Maya, and I'll take.
No,
I go, Mom, why don't we just split it right down the middle?
Yeah.
You take 50%, I'll take 50%, and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that's what we ended up doing. A man in Pennsylvania has ripped his home to the ground.
Not going
to
be another date for him.
With an excavator after his wife said that their marriage is over.
You guys, he took an excavator to the house. I've seen the video.
I know my rats.
Did she take the house? No. No, I excavated it down.
Literally tore his house to the ground.
It's his house. Was he arrested?
He was arrested, and they had been married for 42 years.
Overreaction party of one.
You can have the house. I'm going to take the dining room. Literally, I'm taking it.
Mm-hmm. He actually said to his wife, if it's over, I'm tearing the house down.
Oh, my God.
We got to run. Have a great night. Sam, Stevie, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.